We're excited. Something about a baptizing, it's just so full of joy. So full of joy. And that's what I expect tonight. So I just thought we would talk about water baptism this morning from God's Word. Look to God's Word and just read some verses and just what the Bible says about water baptism. Amen. Praise the Lord. We're going to read in the Gospel of Matthew chapter 3, if you want to look there with me. Matthew chapter 3, and we're going to read several verses. Actually, we'll just read this all 17 verses in this chapter, chapter 3. Matthew chapter 3 and verse number 1. In those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, "Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he that was spoken of by the prophet Esaias, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. And the same John had his raiment of camel's hair and a leathern girdle about his loins, and his meat was locust and wild honey. Then went out to him Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region round about Jordan. And they were baptized of him in Jordan, confessing their sins. And when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, O ye generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance. And think not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father. For I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. And now also the axe is laid unto the root of the trees. Therefore every tree which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. But he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire, whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wheat into the garner, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. And John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me? And Jesus answering said unto him, Suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove, and lighting upon him, and lo, a voice from heaven saying, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Praise God. Water baptism. Why water baptism? Why is it important? Well, it's important because, and I'm going to give you several reasons, but the basic reason is that it is the biblical pattern that was given to us by Jesus himself. Amen. Some Christians have not taken the step to be baptized in water, and for maybe a lot of different reasons. But I trust that this morning that we'll be able to clarify and enough that you can say, well, I need to be baptized in water. If you're a Christian, if you've put your faith and your trust in Jesus as your Lord and Savior, and you have not been baptized in water, you need to follow through in that step of obedience. Amen. How important is it? Well, it's just as important as the Great Commission. The Great Commission is important. We talk about that a lot around here, the importance of going into all the world, preaching the gospel to everyone. And that's why we send missionaries. That's why we are involved in evangelism. That's that because we want to obey the Great Commission of our Lord. But if you remember, as a part of that commission, let me read it to you from Matthew 28, verse 18. It says, "And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." So as a part of the Great Commission, we are to carry the gospel to all the world. We're to teach them what the Bible says about the gospel. And we are to baptize everyone that puts their faith and their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So that means everybody. Whosoever will needs to be baptized in water. It is really the very next step of obedience. The Christian life is a life of obedience to God. And you learn little by little how to obey the voice of the Lord. You learn how to read the Word of God and to obey the Word of the Lord. Little children have to learn how to obey their parents. When they're young, they're unruly. Some of you may have seen some of the video clips of the big royal event in England this past week, and big to-do celebrating the Queen's 70th year as Queen. And it was interesting that one of the princes, Prince William's youngest child, was on the big balcony with all of the other princes and the queen and all the royal family. And he is doing what little children do. He is making faces. He is putting his hands in his mouth. He's jumping up and down. He's pointing. He does what little kids do. Even in a royal family, kids will be kids. Because children have to learn, don't they? They learn. So is it true of new little baby Christians? We, as new born again Christians, we learn the steps of obedience. We learn how to grow up and to mature. And if you want to learn the steps of obedience, then you follow the very first step of obedience, and that is to be baptized in water. Amen. It's the very first step of obedience after you are born again. Now, some would ask the question, how old do you have to be baptized? Well, we don't baptize babies. We don't believe that it's biblical to infant baptism is biblical. We don't believe that that is really the New Testament pattern at all. We dedicate babies, and that's always a wonderful time, but really it's in a sense, when we bring a little new baby up for dedication, it's the dedicating of that child and really the whole family to dedicate that child to be raised up, and the whole family's committing themselves to teach their little child about Jesus and to raise them up in the fear and the admonition of the Lord. But I know some churches, formal churches like, the Catholic Church, Lutherans, Presbyterians, some Methodists even follow that formality of sprinkling their little babies, baptizing their little babies as if it is going to make a difference. But the reality we know is this, that you have to be born again. You have to be able to come to that age that you understand what it is to be saved. And I know that little children can get saved. Really young children can understand the gospel and can get saved. And the parents are the best judge of whether or not their child is ready to be baptized in water. And I always like to just leave it up to mom and dad because they know their child. They know the spiritual interest of their child. And so some children, even when they're very young, understand what it is to be saved. And it's wonderful if they want to follow in that next step of obedience, and that is to be baptized in water. Amen? Amen. So we don't believe in infant baptism. We believe in baby dedication, and we believe that a person should be of age, that they understand what it is to be born again before that they are baptized in water. Another thing is we do not believe in baptismal regeneration. That's a doctrine that some churches, not many, but some churches follow the doctrine of baptismal regeneration. And that just, in simple terms, is they believe that if you're not baptized, you're not saved. I don't believe that. I believe that we are saved because we put our faith and our trust in Jesus, and we are born again of the Spirit. Amen. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, "For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourself, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." So if you have, and I've had this experience over the years, praying with someone that was even so sick that they never really was able to even to go out and even go to church, let alone be baptized in water, and they would give their heart to the Lord, maybe just a few days, even a few hours before they passed away. Did they go to heaven? Absolutely. They went to heaven. And so we do not believe that baptism is a condition for salvation, but we do believe that if you're saved, you're going to want to take the next step of obedience and be baptized in water. Amen? Amen. Praise God. Well, the Greek word for baptism, and it's about 77 times in the New Testament. Baptizo is the word. The Greek word means to dip or to immerse. That's used 77 times in the New Testament. It was the practice of the early church to baptize by immersion. It wasn't until about the 13th century that some churches began to sprinkle and as a form of baptism. And I understand that maybe you've been sprinkled before, and you know, I'm not going to argue with you about it, except just to tell you what the Bible says. That's not the New Testament pattern. The New Testament pattern is to be baptized by immersion. That word is used 77 times in the New Testament. The Greek word baptizo means to dip or to immerse. It was the practice of the early church. And even in the New Testament, when you see the baptism such in as the text that we read today, other passages of Scripture, when John was baptizing in the wilderness, it says he was at the Jordan River. He was at the Jordan River because he needed a place where there was enough water to get someone dunked under that water. Mark chapter 1 and verse 5. "And there went out with him all of the land of Judea and they of Jerusalem, and they were all baptized of him in the river of Jordan, confessing their sins." John chapter 3, verse 23. "And John also was baptizing in Aenon near Salim, because there was much water there." There needed to be plenty of water there so that they could immerse them, so that John could baptize them, getting them under the water to dip them or to immerse them under the water. Amen. Philip left a great revival in Acts chapter 8 in Samaria because the Spirit of God directed him to go down to a place that was a desert place called Gaza. He went down to Gaza there and he met a man that was an Ethiopian eunuch. He met this man and he was in his chariot and he was reading from the book of Isaiah. And so Philip joins to him, comes alongside him and asks him, "Do you understand what you're reading?" And he said, "How can I understand what I'm reading? I need someone to explain it to me, to help me to understand it." So the Bible says that Philip joined him in his chariot and he began to explain to him Jesus Christ from the book of the prophet Isaiah. He explained to him, that was Isaiah 53, where He explained to him concerning Jesus Christ and him coming as the Messiah. So Acts chapter 8, verse 36, it says, "And as they went their way, they came into a certain water. And the eunuch said, 'See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized?' And Philip said, 'If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest.' And he answered and said, 'I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God.'" That eunuch heard the word. He understood the gospel from the prophet Isaiah, explained by Philip the evangelist. And he believes upon the Lord Jesus Christ that very day. And he says, "Here's some water here. What hinders me from being baptized?" And he commanded the chariot to stand still. And they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. Praise God. There's the New Testament pattern. That's only a few verses that I can share with you. But, you know, a really important thing about baptism is from our text today in Matthew chapter 3. And that is that Jesus, when he came to where John was baptizing all those people, John backed up and said, wait a minute. I need to be baptized of you. He recognized Jesus for who he was, the Messiah, the Son of God. I need to be baptized of you. But Jesus did what he did to give a pattern for everyone else to follow. Amen? He left the pattern for everyone else to follow and to do what he had called everyone else to do and to follow in his example. If Jesus needed to be baptized in water, then you do too. Amen. If you have not been baptized in water, if you have put your faith and your trust in Jesus as your Lord and your Savior, you need to be baptized. You need to come and talk to me. Brother Jonathan said, "Are you going to need help dunking all these people?" Oh, no. We'll have a good time. If someone wants to get in there with me and help me, that's fine. But the more people you get in there, the higher the water level gets. So we'll have to be careful about that. Jesus gave us the pattern. Right. Even he himself was baptized in water. And really another part of the purpose of baptism is that we make our faith public. Yes. We make a public statement. We go public with what we believe. We testify. That's why it would really be a wonderful thing if you're being baptized tonight or some of your family's being baptized and you got friends and family that are not saved, you need to invite them. "Hey, come and see me be baptized tonight. Watch this. It's not just a religious ceremony. This is a spiritual step of obedience that all of these people are going to be taking tonight. And your faith is going to go public tonight." Amen. No denying who you are and who you belong to from this day forward. Praise God. It really is a living illustration of what happens to us when we get saved. It's a physical picture of a spiritual reality of what happens in your life. Because when you go down in that water, you are dying. It's the death of the old man that's dying, going down in the water. But then when you raise up out of the water, it is a testimony of your spiritual resurrection, that you are dying to your old life and you're coming forth. And that's already happened when you got saved. But what this is a public statement of it. It's a public testimony of the fact that I have died out to my old life and I am being resurrected to my new life. Praise God. And so it's a wonderful testimony of what Jesus has already done in your life. Praise God. Romans chapter 6, verse 4. "Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Praise God. Amen. So that's what happens whenever you're baptized, that you're publicly declaring, I have died to my old self, to my old life, to the old man. I have become new through Jesus Christ, and my life is all new, and I'm moving forward. I am going to be walking in newness of life. Amen. That's why it's such a joyous time whenever we baptize. Amen. The last couple of years, actually some of these that will be baptized tonight talked to me months ago. Some of them back during the pandemic, and we were like saying, maybe we better wait till after this mess gets over with. And I just kept kind of putting people off until I could put people off no longer. Amen. Not that I wanted to, but I'm excited about it. I'm looking forward to what God is going to do. I believe that not only will these be baptized and it make a difference in their life, but I believe that those that witness it, even if you have friends and family and loved ones that are not saved that witness it, it's going to make an impact upon them, a mighty spiritual impact. Colossians chapter 2 and verse number 12, we are buried with him in baptism, wherein also you are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead. Amen. So we are affirming the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Every time that we baptize, we are reaffirming the fact that Jesus Christ came forth alive out of the tomb. Praise the name of the Lord. Amen. That's how important it is. It's really important. Peter, when he stood up on the day of Pentecost to preach, you'll remember that Peter was the guy who made lots of mistakes. He denied the Lord. He cursed publicly. And then the Bible says he went out and he wept bitterly. I believe that Peter was grieving and sorrowful over the terrible failure that he had made. And it could have been the end of Peter, just like it was of Judas. But instead, Peter repented of his failure and his sin. And on the day of Pentecost, then, it's Peter that is filled with the Holy Ghost and stands up, and he preaches that day with such power and authority to the Jews that were in Jerusalem that the Bible says that they were all pricked in their heart. Acts 2:37. Now, when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart. You know what that means? That means that they were convicted by the message of Peter. So it wasn't just a nice talk that Peter gave that day on the day of Pentecost. This was Peter under the inspiration and the anointing of the Spirit of God as he preached on the day of Pentecost, and that message hit its target. The hearts of those people that were in his audience that day were convicted of the Holy Spirit. That means they felt guilty. They knew that they were condemned and guilty of the sin that he had just preached about. The Bible says they were pricked in their heart. And Peter and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus for the remission of sins. Now, a lot of people have said, well, why does he say there only in the name of Jesus? You have to remember that he's preaching to that Jewish crowd in Jerusalem, all who were rejectors of Jesus as the Messiah. That's why he's reaffirming the fact that you're going to be baptized. But in the Great Commission he gave that I read to you, they were baptized in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. And that's the pattern that we'll follow tonight when we baptize people tonight. But he's reaffirming to those Jews who had rejected Jesus as the Messiah, be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Praise God. Another question that some people have, well, is that the way it is? You get saved, then you get baptized in water, then you get baptized in the Holy Ghost. Not always. It's not always in that order. Some folks get saved, and they get filled with the Holy Ghost, and then they get baptized. That's not the particular order. The most important thing is that you obey the voice of the Lord. obey the voice of the Lord and follow him in water baptism. Amen. Now this morning, what I want to do is just before we close out this service today, is just make this appeal to some of you in this service this morning. Because there may be some of you that in your heart right now, you know, I am not in right with God. I am not in right standing with the Lord. I have sin in my life. There are things in my life that I know are not pleasing to the Lord. Jesus made provision for you to be saved. Amen. God is no respecter of persons. I'm not better than you. Not one person in this building is better than anyone else. We all are equal before God in our need of a Savior. And you need to be saved. You need to call upon the name of the Lord. And when you repent of your sins and call upon the Lord, then you can be saved. By grace are you saved through faith. You can be saved this morning. Your life can be changed forever if you'll put your trust and your faith in Jesus this morning. And if you do that, then you can follow through and just come and see me after the service. And if you get saved this morning, you could be baptized tonight. Amen. Nothing hindering that from happening. If you get born again and you have the testimony that you've got saved, you can be baptized in water. Praise God. Let's bow our heads. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for what you are doing, Lord, in the lives of people. And I pray, Lord, that if there are any in this service today, Lord, that do not know you as their Lord, as their Savior, Lord, that they would come to you and be saved today. Praise God. Lord, we know that it is the spirit of conviction that comes by the Holy Ghost, Lord, into a service and upon a person's life that convinces us of our sin and our need for a Savior. So, Lord, would you do that work this morning? Lord, if there are any in this place today that are not saved, that they would respond to this wonderful invitation to be a child of God. Hallelujah. Amen. Would you stand with me, everybody, across this building? And if there are any of you here today that you know you're not really where you need to be with the Lord, you're not really following the Lord, you're not a child of God, you can be this morning. You can be. I want to invite you to come. Stand up here at this altar, kneel at this altar. Would you come right now while we sing this little chorus together?